a blessing to be in the service tonight. We're thankful for your kind invitation to come. The church desiring us to come and be in the meeting tonight and the other nights as the Lord would direct. And good to see those from fellowship tonight. And Amen. If there's folks from somewhere else, we're glad to see you wherever you're from. And you've heard me say it before, it's not where you're from that matters the most. It's where you're headed.
Amen.
It's where you're going. That's what matters the most. That's the most important thing. And I'm sure I'm glad we can head in the right direction tonight. The song stirred my heart tonight as the choir sung, Jesus is still passing by.
Amen.
So that's a blessing tonight.
Sure it is.
For us. He's still passing by.
Amen.
And we know that he's not passing by in the flesh like he did while he was on earth, those 33 plus years. But in the person of the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
He is still passing by.
Yes.
And so that's good news if you're here tonight and unsaved. He's passing by.
Amen.
And he's passing by so you can be saved. And so I appreciate that. And then that's good news for us that are saved, are believers tonight, for whatever situation or circumstance, whatever burden or battle that we're fighting and facing tonight, if he's still passing by, we can find what we need to help us in these days.
Amen.
And so I appreciate that. And so I trust tonight as he passes by that you'll do as blind Bartimaeus did. You'll cry out,
Amen, Richard.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And if you'll cry out to him, I believe he'll hear your cry.
Yes, sir.
It was the disciples that was in the boat in the storm. And as Jesus passed by, they cried out.
Amen.
Now, I know they cried out in fear. I know they cried out supposing him to be a spirit. They thought that some sailor before them, some fisherman before them had died and now his spirit was raised up, and that's why they cried out.
Sure.
But when they cried out, he let them know that it was him that was passing by. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So, matter of fact, the Scripture would have us to understand that he would have went on by had they not cried out. So I hope you'll cry out tonight as he passes by.
Amen.
And so I that stirred my heart. I can say that was worth the drive up here to know he's passing by. And so I'm glad he is still passing by. Sometimes we feel like he ain't. Sometimes we think that, he stopped making the trip. He's there and not coming by anymore. Like Martha and Mary when they sent for Jesus about Lazarus, their brother. But I'm glad one day he passed by.
Amen.
Passed by. They thought it was too late. They thought it was too late for him to pass by, but it wasn't too late. And it's not too late for us tonight if he's passing by. Amen. You see, because he can do everything. And they said, well, we know that he'll live again. Martha said, the day of the resurrection. He said, but you've forgotten who I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. So I'm glad our hope's in him tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad there is hope in him tonight. Well, I want to read from Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. I don't know the years that I preached here. I know, I guess last year, probably maybe year before last, I preached on the life of Abraham. Here I am again tonight dealing with Abraham, not just him tonight. But and so I hope I don't tax your patience or worry you too much preaching about him. I guess he's one of my favorite characters to preach on is Abraham. And I'm not going to just deal with him so much tonight. But he is in this story tonight. And so I want, by the help of the Lord, to preach to you what's on my heart.
Amen.
And I hope the Lord will help us to glean and gather from his word that would bless and benefit our lives. I trust tonight that the Lord will open our understanding and we can see ourselves in the light of the Word of God.
Amen.
But isn't that a blessing when God opens up the Scriptures and lets you see yourself in the Word of God?
Amen.
That's when it becomes real. That's when it's life-changing. That's when it feeds your soul. That's when it gives you strength for the days that are ahead. And I'm glad that that word is like that. It is like that. Amen. Oh, it's vastly different than any other book or publication that we have, could read or hold in our hands. The Word of God, it's inerrant, it's inspired, it's infallible. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad that it is God breathed.
Yes, it is, for sure.
Amen. It is God breathed. And so when you the Lord opens your understanding, it'll bring life to you. It'll bring life to you. Let's look at Genesis chapter 16, if you have your Bible and want to follow along as I read tonight. Let's look there. I want to take the time tonight to read the entire chapter. It's just 16 verses of this 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. So it won't take us but just a moment to read it. And the Bible does say give attendance to reading. So let's do that tonight. I don't know if I'll do it the other nights. It's in my heart to preach from this passage, this chapter, the whole week. I may not. I may just preach it tonight and not get back to it. I don't know. But that's what so far is in my heart. And the Lord can change that. That's up to Him. He can do anything He wants to. I just want to be sensitive to what he wants done. Amen. And so would you pray with us and for us tonight? Now, if you found your place, if you're physically able, if you're willing to do so, I invite you to stand with us while we read these 16 verses. And after we read these verses, this chapter of Genesis, we'll pray together. And I would appreciate you praying for me. You that know the worth of prayer. As a matter of fact, I ask humbly for it tonight. And got to have it. Genesis 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years, in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do unto her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?
Amen.
Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahaira. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Lord, we thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you that you preserved it to this generation. Thank you for the portion you directed our heart to. Thank you. And the meditations you've given us. Thank you for The things that we've read, thank you for the things that have stirred our heart and spoke to my life. And I pray, dear Lord, tonight now as I stand to preach to this people, that you'd help me to proclaim the truths that are in this Bible and in this chapter, and the things that are upon my heart, give me unction and utterance tonight. May I preach as the very oracles of God. May I be a mouthpiece that you can, Lord, preach through and speak through tonight. And may our hearts be open and receptive out of what you have to say to us tonight. And may the Word of God find lodging in our lives. And may sinners be convicted and converted. And may saints be revived and refreshed. And Lord, above everything tonight, may your name be glorified and magnified among us. Lord, what you're pleased to do in and through and for us tonight, we'll be careful to bow these unworthy heads and recognize and realize where our help comes from and who, Lord, accomplished anything, knowing that it's all you tonight. And everything I ask in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing while we read the Word of God and prayed together tonight. I want to preach from this chapter if I can tonight. And I'd like to, if the Lord would help me, to focus in on this little woman, this Egyptian handmaiden by the name of Hagar. I want to preach on her tonight. Now, and I'm preaching on her in the light of this story that we have just read tonight. Now, of many of the chapters in the book of Genesis and of many of the events in the life of Abram and Sarah, it would probably, far as saving face or my friend, their reputation, it'd be good if we could skip this chapter tonight and not read this story about Abram and Sarah here tonight. But the Bible, the Word of God, does not pull any punches. Amen. And God, my friend, talks to us, my friend, in plain and frank terms. And the Lord, my friend, does not, my friend, look over our sin or our failure are our mistakes tonight. As a matter of fact, we might say tonight here is a sin in the life of Abram and Sarah. Here is a failure, my friend, in their life. May I say, God does not, my friend, talk to people of faith and talk to people that are His covenant people. He does not talk to them or talk in respect to them as though, my friend, they are perfect and they never sin or they never make a mistake or they never have a failure. I'm glad He always mentions our failures. And in this chapter, that's exactly what God does. He mentions Abram and Sarah's failure. Amen. But He does not magnify. He only mentions it. It's their faith that is magnified. And when you get over into Hebrews chapter 11, and my friend Paul the writer looks back, and my friend begins to write to the Hebrew believers, hey God, he talks to them about Abraham and about Sarah and about their faith in the Lord and how they please God. Are you listening to me tonight? Can I say to you tonight, don't make the mistake. Don't, my friend, get caught up in the idea that those that live a life of faith are always faithful. And don't make the mistake tonight that those that have faith do not also have failures. Amen. And God is aware of our failures. And God does not turn a blind eye to our failures. He'll call us on the carpet about it. He'll make us face our failures.
But he doesn't glory in our failures, my friend, nor does he magnify them. It's that faith that he wants to magnify in our life and does in our life tonight. Amen. I believe that tonight. By the way, thank God, all of us will have to face mistakes and failures and sins in our life tonight. Though we are followers of Christ, though we are believers of Christ, though, my friend, we're going to have to face that. Amen. That God doesn't want us to deny it or ignore it and say we don't have any. Amen. I know those tonight. I don't know if you have any in the state of North Carolina. I think they've all moved to Alabama. But we've got a whole lot there, and we've got some even has a particular denomination, and they say once they're saved that they never sin again. Amen. As a matter of fact, you do have some in North Carolina. I don't know if he's a transplant from Alabama, because I was in revival in the month of January, my friend, in the state of North Carolina the first week, and a man came in to the services two nights, and he said to the pastor, "I've got something I need to say." This was really after the service, or at the end of the service, after I'd preached and given invitation, when the altar call was given, he walked up to the pastor and said, "I've got something I need to say. God wants me to say something out of this congregation. God's given me something to this congregation." And the pastor said, just be quiet. I don't know who you are. And so I'll talk to you after church. And after church, that man said, for the past 10 months, I've lived above sin. I've not sinned one time in the last 10 months. I said to the pastor, you already know he's a liar. Amen. Thank God right off the bat. I don't know what else, amen, but you know, he's not telling the truth right there. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. And I know that some folks may say, far as my friend, maybe those outward manifestations are known sins they're not guilty of. My friend, the closer we get to God and more we walk in the light of His Word and yield to the Holy Spirit, the more fallible and sinful we see ourselves. And we keep constantly crying out, "We must have a Savior tonight."
Amen. Amen.
I believe that's the way it is. What do you think? But God wants us to face our sin, not to ignore Him and our failures. And God mentions this for a reason. Thank God, this a man and woman of faith. Thank God, because God wants us to face our failures, recognize our failure. There are those that just want to say, "I don't have any. I don't make any mistakes. I don't have any failures. I don't have any sin." And then there's those that allow the flesh, our sin, Satan, or others, my friend, to delight in their failures, to destroy them because of their failures. But listen to me tonight, my friend, it doesn't mean God's quit you, God's give up on you, that God doesn't still favor you, though you failed. Yes, He'll chastise it. Yes, He wants you to face it and ask forgiveness. But at the same time, my friend, He may mention it, but He'll not magnify it. It's your faith that needs to be magnified. Anybody listening tonight? Hallelujah. And so here is this chapter tonight, and I want to say whatever the Lord wants me to say out of it tonight. Now, preacher, when it's time for me to quit, give me a wave me down. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we know that every portion of Scripture has a primary interpretation. That is, what it is saying to us, what the story, what the verses, what the chapter, what my friend, the context is trying to get over to us. It's a primary
interpretation.
Amen.
Just what it means. And most of the Word of God, hallelujah, you don't have to look for some big answer. It's just there. And so, primarily the interpretation is you can just read it like I did tonight and understand what happened. Abraham and Sarah, my friend, took Hagar, Abraham, under his wife, and she gave birth to a son. Are y'all hearing me? It's just plain and simple what took place. But not only in every scripture is there a primary interpretation, there is a prophetical significance. There is something that in that scripture that prophesies or foretells of what will be in the future. It is a foreshadowing. Hallelujah. It is a type of that that is to come. And I believe in this prophecy of this scripture tonight. As Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he used this story to talk about my friend Israel and the church. He talked about, thank God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He talked about, my friend, the believer in Christ, based with the nation of Israel, thank God, the old covenant, the new covenant, however you want to say it tonight. And he said it's an allegory. Hallelujah. Oh, hear me. Hagar and her children, thank God, are a symbol. They're allegorical, my friend, of the nation of Israel. They're in bondage even until now. But we which were born from above, we which are born of that heavenly Jerusalem, that other world, under this new covenant of grace. Thank God, we're children of the free woman of Sarah. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Woo! And there is the prophetical significance. And then tonight, what we normally preach on, and what I'm trying to preach on tonight, is the spiritual application. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That we apply to our personal life, to our private life, to our daily walk. Amen? Are you hearing me? To our life in Christ, to the Christian journey. And we draw from these things, and it helps us to be the person that God wants us to be. And isn't that why we're here tonight?
Sure. That's right.
Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, I understand tonight that in my position in Christ, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. And I'm as good as there, and I'm seated with Christ, and my life is hid with Christ in God. But I understand in my daily walk, in my pilgrimage, in my practice, I'm not near what I need to be. Oh, but Christ, our God, is conforming me daily to the image of Christ. And the reason I go to church, and the reason that I pray, and the reason I read the Word of God, it's so I can be more like Him.
Amen.
The reason we preach is so we can gather and believe in His Word.
Sure.
That would help us lay aside what's unchristlike and put on that would be more like Him.
Amen.
Am I making any sense to anybody?
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah. And so here is Abram. Let me say this right off the bat. I'm trying to get to Hagar, but I'm trying to lay a little foundation, I guess. With Abram and Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Isaac, amen, we have all three spiritual categories of people that are on the face of the earth. Out of the loins of Abraham is ever spiritual character. Are you hearing me? Because there's just three that God considers. That's the Jew. That's the Gentile or the heathen, which Ishmael's a type of. And that's the church of the living God.
Amen.
That's the three classes of spiritual people that God looks at. And you're in one of those crafts tonight.
Amen.
Everybody on the face of the earth is in one of those three crowds.
Amen.
Those three groups. Those three individuals.
Well, bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Yes,
and I want to say tonight, I'm glad I'm in the church.
Amen.
I want to say tonight, thank God for the night Jesus passed by.
Yes.
And let me get in the body of Christ. Let me get in the church. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes,
now, I was at church the first 13 years of my life. I was carried to church, took to church, drove to church. Amen. Thank God. Carried in my mother's womb. Carried, thank God, in the arms. Oh, hear me. Thank God. Took by the hand. I drove by the automobile. We walked to church. When we moved up there, out of that little church, to that little house behind the church. But and then one night I just quit being at church and got in church. Got born again. Got blood washed. Got saved by grace. Had a change in my life. Woo! And there's a vast difference tonight.
Yes, there is.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And more as I live, I see and understand that in our America tonight, there are many of those that say they are Christians tonight, but they know nothing of Christ.
Exactly right.
Have no experience of grace.
Right.
Have no experience with Christ.
Right.
Hallelujah. And I've repeated it. You probably heard me repeat it. Let me say it one more time tonight. You can be a Muslim tonight, never have met Mohammed.
Right.
And you can be a Mormon tonight and never have met Joseph Smith.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
And you can be a Buddhist tonight without ever meeting Buddha.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Well, yeah.
Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
And you can be a Jehovah's Witness and I ain't got a Seventh-day Adventist. I never have met Taz Russell or Ellen G. White. But you'll never be a Christian until you meet Christ. You may have the name. You may have the head knowledge. But you'll never be a Christian until you come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! And that's what salvation is. It's God revealing His Son to you. Hallelujah. And then Christianity is God revealing His Son through you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good
preacher. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And by the way, you won't find out who He is from nobody else but the Father.
That's it.
Salvation is a revelation. Hallelujah. It's a divine revelation to your heart, to your spirit, to your inward being, who Christ is.
Amen.
For 13 years, I accepted Him as the Savior of the world, the babe in the manger, the man on the cross, the risen Savior, even the coming Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. But it wasn't until that introduction by the Holy Ghost that it was made real to my heart. And it changed me. And made a new creature out of me. Woo! Hallelujah. Abram. Just as everybody naturally is a descendant of one of the three sons of Noah, everybody spiritually is a descendant of Abraham. He is the father of the faith. He's the father of the Jew. He's the father of the Muslim. Hallelujah. The Ishmaelites are the heathen, and He's the father of the true believers, the church, tonight.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to me?
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells us that Abraham and Sarah has been in Canaan for 10 years. That is, they've come out of Ur of the Chaldees at the call of God. God calling Abraham and Sarah went with him.
Yes.
When God said, get out of Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land which I will show thee of. Didn't tell him where it was at. Just said, start moving in the direction I tell you to go.
Amen.
And when you get there, I'll tell you. Amen.
That's right.
I'll tell you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's right, preacher.
Bless His name. And aren't you and I headed to heaven tonight? Hallelujah. But I don't know where it's at nor how to get there, but I'm following one that does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And He'll tell me when I get there. Hallelujah. I believe that, don't you? Hallelujah. Well, they're in the land for 10 years. Now, 10 is the number for testimony. And so because they've been in this land for 10 years, the land of promise, the promised land, the land that God was going to later give to him as an inheritance, it looks like Abraham and Sarah ought to have had a good testimony. But oh, this 10th year, their testimony is not a good testimony. It's not a testimony of faith. It's a testimony of failure. Hallelujah. I realize I'm probably preaching below y'all tonight. That is, you're here and I'm down here tonight. I understand that.
Go ahead, preacher. It's good. It happens.
When I look back, where God brought me from, where He put me, and when I think about what I should be tonight.
Yeah.
After all these years, I want to say I'm living far beneath my potential tonight.
Oh, God, help us tonight.
Far beneath my privilege.
God, help us.
When I should have a good testimony tonight, a testimony of faith, I have to often say, Lord, I'm just a failure. And so it is with Abraham. And Sarah. And here's the problem. They have taken matters into their own hands. Are you hearing me tonight? They are literally helping God do what He has promised.
Yeah. Amen.
Or trying to help God.
Right.
But you cannot help God do what He has promised or what He wants to do spiritually by something in the flesh.
Amen.
By the arm of the flesh, by the strength of the flesh,
Amen.
By the ingenuity of the mind. You can't do it.
Right.
And I don't suppose there's anybody here tonight that since you've been saved has tried to help God. Or took things in your own hands instead of just waiting on His promise. Ed waited 10 years.
Yeah.
Sarah probably was barren already 20 at this time, but she's now 10 years in the land, and God keeps saying, you're going to have an heir and you're going to have a son. And all Abraham keeps telling her what God said. And she said, well, I'll tell you one thing, it's been 10 years, and I ain't getting no younger, and I think it's time we do something different.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
I want to preach on Hagar, but I got to talk about Abraham and Sarah for and get to her. And so the Bible talks about this little handmaiden. And she says, I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to give her to you as for your wife. And I want you to go in unto her and she'll conceive seed. And then maybe if she conceives and has a child, then I can have children by her.
Yeah.
That is, if she'll give birth to those children upon my knee, upon my lap, in my house, then maybe that'll make me become fertile, or maybe that'll cause me to have children. Doesn't seem rational, but it was the custom of the East. Could have been the custom of the land which they dwell, or Egypt they come out of. Somewhere Sarah picked it up. But the carnal mind's not subject to the laws of God. Neither indeed can be. And we don't walk by sight, and we walk by faith. Hallelujah. Woo!
Yes, sir.
Right. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
And so, here is the beginning of this problem and this trouble. Who is this woman, Hagar? She is an Egyptian handmaiden.
Yes.
She's an Egyptian slave. Mm-hmm. She's an Egyptian servant. Abraham and Sarah has bought her for this express purpose to serve in their household.
Yeah.
And now Sarah wants to exalt her or lift her to the position of wife to Abraham so they can help God keep His promise by giving them a son. Where did they get Hagar? Well, she's an Egyptian. I believe in all my heart that when Abraham took that side trip into Egypt,
yes, sir, brother,
after coming out of Ur of the Chaldees when he was in the land of promise and then went over into Egypt, I believe that's where he got her.
That's right.
I believe that's when they got her.
Amen.
I believe that's when they picked her up. I believe that's when they bought her. I believe that's when they purchased her.
Amen.
Now, here's a lesson tonight, a spiritual application for us.
Yes, sir.
We all know that Egypt's a type of the world.
Amen.
And a type of sin.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me tonight? And by the way, thank God, when Abraham come out of Ur and got to the land of promise, God appeared to him. But never one time while he was in Egypt, sojourning there, did God ever appear to him. Well, he got rich while he's in Egypt. He increased in cattle. He increased in sheep. He increased in gold and silver. He increased in men servants and maid servants. But he had no fellowship with God. There was no altar built while he was in Egypt. And God never appeared to him.
That's right,
Amen. Are you hearing me? And that's where the modern day church is today.
Sure.
We're satisfied to live in Egypt, to live in the world, to fellowship and friendship the world, and not have the fellowship of God, because we're living for the now and now, and not for the by and by.
Amen.
Oh, God, it was I believe this is where they bought her. By the way, what I'm saying to you is I believe Abraham stepped out of the will of God when he made that side journey to Egypt.
Yes, sir.
And for days and for weeks and for months,
yes, sir,
it looked like it didn't matter because he stepped aside. It didn't hurt nobody. Just a little break in his fellowship with God. And when he come back out of Egypt and got back to the land of Canaan, God appeared to him again. He built another altar. And everything's well now. All's forgotten.
Yeah.
And that little side trip to Egypt, that little jump across the fence, that journey out yonder where he wasn't supposed to went, he went unscathed. He went. And no repercussions, no fruit. Though he sowed the wrong kind of seed.
Yes.
Till now.
Mm-hmm. You're right, preacher.
Are you hearing me? Can I say to you tonight, you better be careful what you bring, what you do with what you bring out of Egypt.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good preaching.
As long as she was their servant, as long as she was their slave, as long as she was their handmaiden, are you hearing me? As long as they understood, thank God she used to be under their hand and under their foot and under their power, they were all right. But when they raised her out of that place of elevation, thank God it caused heartache and, my friend, disharmony in that home and in that house. And as a matter of fact, we're still suffering on account of it tonight in the whole world. Are y'all hearing me?
Right, preacher. Right. Amen.
But it all started with that little side trip to Egypt. I want to tell you something tonight. This is why the preacher keeps preaching. This is why the parents keep saying what they do. This is why the Sunday school teacher says what she does. This is why the Holy Spirit, thank God, restrains you. This is why the Word of God goes against your flesh. Thank God, my friend, and you want to argue with it and your flesh wants to rise up and fight against it. God knows that you can't journey to Egypt, that you can't take a side trip to Egypt, that you can't live in the world, that you can't sow to the flesh and not reap corruption. It'll bring heartache. It may not today and it may not next week, but down the road, that seed that you sowed to the flesh and to the world and to the devil, it will come up and it'll cause heartache.
Amen.
In your heart.
and in your home.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's look at Hagar just a minute. I probably need to quit and done be through already.
Good preaching, brother.
Don't need to say a whole lot more about her, I guess. Or at least not tonight. I took too much time laying the foundation. But can I say this about Hagar? For her, this was something else. To be in this place and in this position with this family at this time.
Yeah.
Bought down yonder on the auction block in the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. And living in the house, the household, living in the household, living with the family, living with the only man on the face of the earth that had a covenant with God.
Right.
At this time.
That's right.
Anybody listening to me?
That's right.
By the way, it's not been unusual in God's dealings with mankind for Him to have just a covenant between Him and one man.
That's right.
It's just one between Him and Adam. It's just one between God and Noah.
Yes, sir.
And everybody else is left out.
Yeah.
Anybody listen to
That's
me?
That's right, preacher. Right.
There's just one with God and Abraham. Everybody else is on the outside. Then here comes Jacob along. God does it with Jacob, and he's
Amen,
the only one.
Preacher.
Anybody hearing me tonight?
Amen.
That's good. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, bless His name. Thank God.
And
I really want to say to you tonight, there's still not but one covenant between God and one man. Hallelujah. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Woo! And based on that one covenant, if we get in Christ, God accepts us in the beloved. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Churches have a church covenant.
Yeah.
Thank God. We enter into covenants with one another. But can I tell you, oh, bless His name.
Yeah.
And it's really not, I don't have a covenant with God. God had a covenant with me. He's got it with His Son. Thank God. And I believed on His Son and believed in His Son. Thank God. And got birthed into the Son.
Yeah.
And because of that blood oath and that blood covenant between God the Father and God the Son. Well, hallelujah. Because that He was the testator of the New Testament, the blood surety of this new and living way. Well, hallelujah. Because He sealed the covenant with His blood. Thank God. And paid the ransom for sinners. God, for Christ's sake, accepts us. And there's nobody else that we can get to God through. There's none other name. Thank God. Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Bless His name.
Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. But now you imagine being a slave, a handmaiden, a servant girl, and being in the only family on the face of the earth that God has made a covenant with. May I say this also tonight? It must have been good to be in the land of promise.
Yeah.
To be in the promised land.
Sure. Sure.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. And may I say to you, when Sarah, I think probably came to her first, and said, me and Abraham's talked. I've talked to Abraham. And since I can't have no young'uns, since I can't have a son, though God said I was going to, I'm going to let you be his wife. I'm going to let you, him, have a second wife.
Yeah.
And you are going to bear children, and maybe it'll cause me to become fertile and be able to have children. And though instinctively, she probably thought, this is not really right This is what not God meant from the beginning, but to be raised and elevated to this position and place. She said, man, I'm not just a servant girl anymore. I'm fixing to be the wife of this man. Mm-hmm. And she agrees.
Yeah.
Now, Hagar, I don't think at this time has faith. Abraham and Sarah have faith, though it's weak here and it's little. Has yours ever been weak or little?
Sure.
Did Jesus not say to Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Yeah.
Did he not say to the disciples, where is your faith?
Amen. Amen.
And so what's happening to her is on the recommendation of people of faith. God's children. Now I will say to you, they took advantage of her. Don't be mistaken tonight. Sometimes God's children will take advantage of you. Sometimes God's children will mistreat you. Sometimes God's people will use you up for their own selfish reasons. Are you listening to me tonight?
Amen.
And they did Hagar.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, she's with child. And I'm telling you, when she realizes she's with child, she is so happy. Because she has just obeyed. She has just done what a servant girl or a slave girl or a little handmaiden would do. I mean, honestly, we don't understand that culture now. I don't understand it now.
Yeah.
How it is over there now.
Go ahead, brother. You're right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, this crazy America that we live in tonight, in our crazy nation,
yeah.
Talk about, you know, because folks is against abortion and same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff. And they say there's a war against women and all that stuff. And that they want to bash the Christian and push the side.
Yeah.
My friend, folks that believe the Word of God and stand for what's right.
Yeah.
And then they want with open arms want to welcome in, my friend, the Islamic crowd into our world.
Yeah.
Do they not understand tonight? Oh, thank God how they treat their women, what they think about individuals tonight. And back in that day, that little Egyptian handmaiden, Hagar, I was no more than the donkey, no more than the sheep or the cattle outside of Abraham's tent. That's why it was such a blessing when she became his wife. She was thrilled to death to be raised to that place. Anybody hear me tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. So when she became fruitful over what, acting out what the children of faith, what the children of God, what Abraham and Sarah had told her to do, enticed her to do, she couldn't be nothing but happy.
That's right.
And Sarah and Abraham couldn't be nothing but unhappy.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that sometimes God's children will press upon you to become fruitful, and when you do, then they despise you because you are.
Yeah. That's good preaching right there.
When you're spiritually successful, when you're spiritually growing, when you're spiritually obtaining what you ought to obtain, and all of a sudden they say, well, I'll tell you. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Hagar. Hagar. Now, can I say this in critiquing her tonight, if you'll allow me? I said critique because I'm afraid if I said judge, y'all wouldn't listen to the rest of my message because, you know, everybody, you know, you're not supposed to judge nobody nowadays. I mean, I don't know. And I don't know how any of y'all got here tonight because you know, you had to judge
what side of the road you is on and where you need to turn, how far away you need to stay from a car, if you need to turn. Hey, man, before that, if you had enough time to turn, you had, oh, Lord, you can't live without judgment. I understand. I know you can take it to the wrong, to the extreme, and judge unrighteous judgment. And that's what God wants us not to do, but you have to judge to live. I'm telling you. So here's Hagar. The Bible said once she did conceive by Abraham and had fruit in her womb, her mistress was despised in her eyes. In other words, she went from being down here and Sarah being up here to when she can see, once when she was her wife, his wife, Abram's wife is here, and when she conceived, she felt like she is up here and she looked down on Sarai. Said, something wrong with you. I can have youngins and you can't. I can conceive seed and you can't. So there must be, it all's wrong with you. It's not you. It's not anybody but you. It's not Abraham, it's you. Yeah. You're the problem. The word despise means she looked on her as little in her eyes. She'd seen her before as big. Yeah. This was her mistress. This was, thank God, the one that had took her into her household. And I think treated her well. Just in my mind, I think they've treated her well up till this moment of time. But here, things are changing now. And she looks down on Sarah. I'm going to tell y'all tonight, it's an easy thing to do. When we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we begin to grow spiritually, it's so easy sometimes for us to turn around and look at our brother and sister, look at others, even sometimes our mentors, even those that have wept and prayed for us or taught us about the Lord. It's easy sometimes for us to look and say, well, I'm fruitful and you ain't. I'm more spiritual than you are. Something wrong with you. I don't know why your folks ain't shouting and running around the building tonight while I'm preaching this message.
That's good, brother. That's good. That's good.
The reason why Sarah is little is because she can't conceive and Hagar does. And secondly, because Hagar realizes that now this child that she has is the heir of everything that Abraham has.
That's
and
right.
Sarah is left out.
That's right.
And so she gets that self-righteous attitude.
That's good.
And again, going back to prophecy, if I can, if y'all will let me tonight. And, hallelujah. That's exactly what happened to the Jew.
Yeah.
When God gave them the law, and my friend gave them that Mosaic covenant. Oh my. On Mount Sinai and gave them that tabernacle and gave them, my friend, those ordinances and those, my friend, all those things that God gave to them. Hey God. They got high and mighty and the Jew would walk into the temple and he'd say, I want to thank you, Lord. Hey God. That I'm a Jew and not a Gentile. And I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm a man and not a woman. Are y'all hearing me? And they got so stinking full of pride and self-righteousness that they going about to establish their own righteousness did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. God curse the day when you and I think it's by our righteousness, our goodness, that we have what we have. But the old flesh, you have to watch it. It'll rise up on you. Well, I'm about through here with Hagar. That's who I wanted to get to tonight. So Sarah then says to Abram, I'm despised in her eyes. I'm little in her eyes. My wrong be upon thee. And the Bible said, Abraham said, do whatever you want to with her. And she dealt hardly with her. The word means she oppressed her. And
She persecuted her. That's Sarah doing this too. Hagar. The very woman that said, come be the wife of my husband, is now oppressing and mistreating. Is anybody listening to the preacher at all tonight? The word means to look down on. It means to browbeat. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
to afflict. That's what she's doing to her. And after this goes on for several days and weeks, I don't know. Could have been into the months. Hagar says, I can't take no more. And she flees from the face of her mistress and winds up at Shur, the edge of the wilderness, not knowing where to go or what to do now. For who in that culture, who in that society would want anything to do with an Egyptian slave, a little handmaiden that was with child and had no visible means of support for herself? Who would want her?
Yeah.
What good would she be to anybody? She would simply just be a burden if anybody took her in. So she's out there at the edge of the wilderness. And what's drove her there? Her mistress. What's drove her there? The two people on the earth that had faith. I hate to leave you on this somber thought, but it's where I'm going to close tonight. I'm sorry. But here it is. Here's Hagar. Don't look too good for her, does it? How's she going to support this baby? How's she going to live? But she can't stay with her mistress because she oppresses her, afflicts her, and browbeats her so much. She don't feel like she can stay there. Boy, the tide has turned.
Yeah.
Things are sure different now. I wonder tonight, is there a need in your life to pray? I wonder tonight when it's time for you to testify, and you are testifying. I don't mean you may not be publicly standing up and saying something in a congregation or even saying something publicly at work about the Lord Jesus Christ, but your life is testifying, and I wonder... I wonder all the years you've been saved, all the months, the weeks you've been saved, I wonder what your life is testifying. I wonder what your life is saying tonight. Is it, when it's time for you to have a testimony, what kind of testimony is it? Is it a testimony of faith or is it a testimony of faith? I wonder tonight, have you been oppressed or afflicted by the children of faith? And running tonight, not knowing what to do, wondering what the answer is. Where do I go now? Oh, tonight. If you need to pray, if the Lord spoke to you for any reason tonight, if there's areas of your life that you need to get right, if you took that little side trip to Egypt tonight, and not confessed it and got it right, would you come tonight? I don't know. You and God know.
That's right.
And that's the message He wanted me to give to you, and there it is.